Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
This is the 50th episode of the LEDcast. So we've been running this for about a year and a half now. And there's quite a few things that we've learned, and we thought that it might be a good idea to actually share another presentation from the LED Africa Academy with you that reflects some of our learning. But before we go into that, Sean, is there anything that you would want to highlight now?
Well, it feels like a fantastic milestone to be at the 50th episode, and to just say that we are still surprised by how many people are still downloading our very first episodes. We are mildly surprised by that, and to also say that we are getting a lot of comments and verbal feedback from people about the podcast, but that people aren't actually entering this onto the website is a bit strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's one of the things that we should highlight. We would so much appreciate to get more feedback and to make this whole thing more interactive. Also, listeners may have noted that we had quite a few case studies recently, and we definitely would be keen to have more of that. So please, if you want to share a case study, if you want to have a conversation with us where you explain one of your experiences, or maybe also one of the tools that you are using, please indicate that to us, and we will be more than happy to interview you on that and put that out as an LED cast.
For me, it's also important to say that we don't see the episodes as the truth. We see it as a perspective. So therefore, we want people to comment on that in order to get a discussion going. So if you don't agree with something that we've said, or if you want to emphasize something, or maybe contribute to something, then you also should post your comment onto the website. We are not fishing for compliments. What we actually want is to get a discussion going. So if you have anything to add, or if you want to explore something further, or if you want to even question us, then please also post those comments onto the website.
Okay, so now let's have a look at the topical content of this episode, which is going to be about polarity management. In the past, especially, I have sometimes been known to be polarizing. And one of the things I think that we have learned was that that was not so particularly helpful. And that it also just doesn't reflect the reality of LED. So polarity management is one way of managing, of addressing, well, polarized views, polarized perspectives, opposing issues in a systematic way. So let's listen to that.
Okay, so polarity management is a change management tool. And it's applied in the context that we often arrive at a place where you find that a department or unit or local stakeholders have been shifting from pillar to post. So a new official starts, a new manager or a new leader starts, and they say, teamwork. I want teamwork. And they restructure the organization and they put in incentives for teamwork. And teamwork works well. But then teamwork's, let's say there's a highly dynamic individual that wants to progress in their career. And sometimes in a team structure, it's very difficult for you to stand out. And then that manager leaves, and then somebody else comes in and they say, oh, no, what we need here is we need more individualism. So they shift. They start shifting the organization, and team structures start falling apart. And what happens is that individuals, incentives for people to act in an independent way, gets higher preference in the organization. And what you can have is you can have organizations that are constantly swinging from the one side to the next. In my country context, we've seen whole ministries, whole departments over the last 10 years go through 6 change processes where they've basically been shifting from the one thing to the next. Now, where the word polarity comes in is there was this guy that in the 90s posited that he said that many things that we are trying to solve are actually not problems. It's not a problem, teamwork versus individualism. What we have is we actually have a polarity. So if you think of the two poles of a magnet, we've got positive and we've got negative, and those are two poles. And if you bring another magnet, the positive side, it will push, And if you bring the negative side, it will pull. But what you will never do is you will never get this positive and this negative side to completely agree. There's a tension between them. There's a tension between the two things. And he's saying, so a magnet, the two poles, is not a polarity to it's not a problem to solve. It's a polarity to be managed. So the positive side and the negative side both have advantages. They both have strengths. They both have disadvantages. They both have negatives. And what we want to do is we have to find a way of managing that situation. Now you will hear I'm very careful about the word balancing. Because balancing a magnet, balancing the poles, is not an issue. It's also not about compromising, give and take, or win-win. It's absolutely about managing these two extremes and then finding a use out of having the two extremes. So in management literature, especially in change management literature, there isn't a thing like a win-win situation. Because win-win means if you and I'm negotiating about something, and I'm saying positive, and you are saying negative, and I'm saying very positive, and you are saying very negative, then a win-win would be where the two of us agree that we can't get our full benefit. Yes, I can't get my full positive. We meet each other halfway, which means that now you and I'm together, but we are now almost average, because we've lost the benefit of your negative, your extremely negative, and the benefit of my extremely positive. So it gives us a way to manage this. So let's quickly think of a couple of polarities. There's many polarities out there in the world.
To abandon.
So what would the two poles be? The one is societal values.
Yes, the
what
other
is,
one is
individual values?
Individual values.
Okay, well, it's interesting because many poles you would actually write verses. So you would say individual values versus societal values. Okay, let's try it. I don't know if it will work, but let's see. So there's community. Community what? Community interests. Okay, community interests versus mining company interests. Okay. There are others. Revolution versus stability. There's another one. In management styles, there's flexibility versus standards. Or rigidity. I mean, it's very difficult to have flexible standards. You want to confuse. So that's another one. I mentioned just now, teamwork versus individual performance. So it's basically team performance versus individual performance. In LED, there's a couple. There's small firms versus large firms. You find that the one consultancy would say we need to do small enterprise development, or actually many LED practitioners prefer small enterprise development. What your national government often is concentrating on is large enterprise development, foreign direct investment. And we have to, in the real world where we work in LED, we often have these two tensions that are pulling us. There's others. There's some people would say capitalism versus socialism is a polarity. Some people would say entrepreneurship formation versus capital formation. There's many of these different ones. Maybe the one that we can use as an example is planning. Let's call it strategic planning as a way to get LED going and to manage LED versus participatory approaches. So you find there's your polarities. Now there's a very simple tool that you could use. And the tool is called a polarity management map. So what you want to do is you want to basically get four quadrants. So which one shall we use? Let's use teamwork versus individual performance. Because then it won't sound like I'm trying to indoctrinate you with some other LED religion. So let's take, so we write here team performance versus individual performance. And now let's quickly look at the strengths. What are the strengths of team performance? Quickly, quickly.
Ownership.
Ownership. Shared ownership.
Yes, shared ownership.
Okay. Creativity. Is it efficient? I guess it's efficiency. Some would say there's strength in diversity. But that is really very dependent on management, because what happens very often is that team managers tend to like people that think like they do. So it is strength of diversity, but I would put there in brackets sometimes. Okay, let's look. What else are strengths of teamwork, team performance? Shared goals we have. There's typically a strength of this is that there's incentives to work together. So there's incentives to cooperate. Okay, I think that's enough. What are some of the strengths of individual performance? Systems where we reward individuals for performing. Innovation and creativity. Okay, decision making. There's very often an appetite for performance. You've got clear responsibilities. Very clear who's doing what. There's another one, and that is that if we were in an organization but performing as individuals, you could and I could, we could all learn at different paces. And if you really wanted to work, and you work overnight and through weekends, you usually get performed, rewarded. So you basically typically learn at your own pace, and you get rewarded for your results. What you will notice is that whenever leadership and management, but also societies, shift from the one side to the next, they shift for this. They shift for the strengths. I mean, why would an organization go from team performance to individual performance? They go because they like these virtues, the characteristics of this quadrant they like. So they are willing to give this up to go here. But let's look a little bit further into this. What are some of the downsides, the weaknesses, or the negatives of team performance? Come, you've all worked in teams.
Not very slowly.
Okay. So slower pace, maybe. Okay, so there's a slower pace. Conflicts. No decision making. Collective failure. I think that there's also this thing that if we are three leaders in a five-person team, that could be really destructive. So it's also that there could be leadership challenges. So there's like leadership struggles. Power struggles, okay, power struggles. And then if you were really an eager person, you could work all night and all day and all weekend and then still get no extra recognition. So some people are really disillusioned by this. So individual rewards are weak. Okay. Let's quickly look. What are some of the negatives of individual performance, individual functions? Inefficiency. Okay. What about having cowboys where everybody's chasing the nice stuff and nobody's doing the dirty work? In companies, you very often have that individuals expect to be rewarded for their efforts, especially when the president was set, and they get so used to being rewarded for extra effort that there comes a day where they say, but now you can't pay me what I'm worth. So you also typically have that the reward structures become very expensive. And then you also have the fact that very average performers don't like this. A lot of people that just like to get the job done, do their work, get paid, very often the incentive structures work against them. I worked in a company where 60% of my salary was commission. And that's not nice. I mean, then you'd rather go and work in a team environment and you get a nice 10% bonus before Christmas. So the reward structures. Now, what happens typically in the real world is that people have this. Then what happens after a while is they get, in the beginning, they have this because things are thought through, things are properly designed. Then over time, they start experiencing some of these negative effects to the point where they maybe achieve, they feel the benefits and the negatives of these two sides. And then somebody comes and tell them and say, hey, look at that. Look what you can have. So what they do is a team or organization could easily move from this quadrant to this quadrant. Now they see the grass is on that side. It's nice and green. So they shift over there. We call it the honeymoon period. Everything is working right. The teams are functioning. The slow performers are moving out of the system. We have this hypercharged group of individualists. And then over time, we start seeing, hey, but now there's inefficiency. And we have these cowboys that's chasing the big deals. And they completely forget about getting the normal day-to-day stuff done. We find only the exciting stuff get done. And very quickly, we have reward structures that become extremely expensive. And then somebody says, hey, we need some team structures in here. And then what happens is the organization goes back this way. And you could have organizations that are completely trapped in a movement that goes like that. So they move from the one extreme. They start positively. They move to the negative. Now things aren't so nice. Honeymoon is over. They shift over to that side. Over time, this starts killing them. And with polarity management, it's very important for us to recognize these two systems and then to say, well, now we need to start designing a system where shared ownership is built, where there's performance and systems dealing with teams. But at the same time, we need to design our system so that if there is a high performer or a couple of high performers, that they maybe go on to an accelerated career path, want a different reward system. It allows you to have the benefits of the extremes without compromising on that. So on your CD, you will be have a little handout on this tool. My time is up. And there's a fantastic book on this topic written by a Dr. Johnson. And the reference for that will also be part of the article. It's a really fun thing to learn and to read up. What you want to do in your LED environment is you want people to start recognizing that it's not just that focusing, pursuing a small enterprise development strategy has strengths, but that there are negatives. And what you want is you want to, in your strategy, you want to take cognizance of the strengths of working with the big firms and the negatives, and you want to then design your activities taking those extremes into consideration. That's it.